Our scripture for this morning is from Luke, the chapter 8. It could have been from Matthew 8. It could have been from Luke, from Mark 5. I'll tell you about those. But it's from Luke, the chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." That was at the top of my voice. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And just a note here, it says by the demon. Well, it wasn't just a demon, it was many. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. That story caused me to title this sermon, "Go to Where You Live, Go Home and Tell." So how many of you did this week? You remember, I told you at the end of the service last week, look around, see somebody who's not here, call them and tell them you want them to worship Jesus with you today. So you know, that's just a reminder, just a reminder. Well, for Christ, during all his earthly ministry, there was no escape from people in need. Well, of course, he didn't want any escape from them. From every quarter, they came with their requests for help and for healing, and he never turned them down. His always caring heart was always moved by the pull of the people. And the days of activities that are recorded in Luke 8 is no exception. It was a couple of full days spent in healing and teaching. And now at the end of a very long day, just as naturally exhausted as any man would be, Jesus sought rest in a boat out on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. With all that we know about Jesus, it's hard to imagine, but he was so physically spent that he soon fell asleep. Suddenly, without warning, because I was over by the Sea of Galilee and they told me this happened all the time. Without warning, because that often happened there, a storm swept down on the disciples and Jesus out in that boat. And they cried out to him for help. Well, Jesus awoke. He rebuked the winds, and he rebuked the sea, and he called for calm, which was immediate. That's another healing by the Master. By early morning, the boat was pulled ashore in the land of the Gerasenes. And that's where we start the scripture. They sailed to a region of the Gerasenes. They were in that boat that day. By the way, I did mean to mention the translation from which I read this morning was the NIV. Our text is from the NIV. But, you know, the fact is several of us read from different translations from time to time. And so the NIV names the place where this occurs as the region of the Gerasenes. Some other translations call it a similar, well, it's similar but a different name, the Gadarenes. Also, I want to mention that this story is also told by Mark in his gospel, which I mentioned, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and slightly differently told by Matthew in his chapter 8. And then Mark adds one very important detail at the end of his telling of this story, verse 20. And I'm going to tell you about that later. Don't let me forget. Just raise your hand if you think I forgot. First of all, though, let's see this very unusual man, sometime referred to as the demoniac, because Luke said he was demon-possessed. Well, Luke tells several stories of these days of Jesus in his chapter 8. Just before this story of this demon-possessed man, as I've said, is the story of the night before that, the Galilean Sea, when Jesus calmed the storm. And now it's the next day, they've crossed the lake, and verse 26, as I say, starts with, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. That is, it's on the east side of the lake. Galilee was on the west side. Well, as soon as Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by this wild man who was possessed by demons, demonic spirits. And this was a very sad and wretched spectacle to start Jesus' day, to start the disciples' day. Each of the gospel writers add a little bit more to this horrible description. Matthew chapter 8 says that there were two men, and they were so violent, their madness made it impossible for travelers to go that way. Mark 5 says people had tried to subdue him, but he was so strong, he broke their chains and shackles, and day and night the man cried out and cut himself with stones. Luke, as we've read, says he wore no clothes, he had no home, he had no friends, he lived among the tombs, and all in all, a vivid and really both a scary and pitiful picture here in this story. Unwanted, violent, and friendless, this pitiful man now lived a life of a wild beast, really, alone and living among the dead. This man who called himself Legion was reduced to the dregs of humanity. It's a shocking old story. But mind you, it's tragic but true. Modern forms of this Gerasene madman of the tombs are not hard to find scattered in modern forms among us. The habitual drunkard, the drug addict, other perverse modern human derelicts are all in truth demon-possessed. Like the demoniac, unless godly help comes to them, they are hopeless and helpless and under the devil's influence, and they are truly without God. Only the grace of God can free these people. Not Gadarenes, not Gerasenes, but Americans. Illinoisans, Carbondale's own. They're among us. And if that wounds our hearts, what are we to do? It's not enough to clean up a person sunk to the level of a modern madman. Not enough just to clothe him or feed him or her. These wretched souls must be, through the hearts of Christ's disciples led by the Spirit of our Savior, must be encountered in person, as this ancient demoniac was by Jesus, to be freed from the demons that possess their hearts. And I guarantee you, they are out there in our own world. They are out there in our own town. Well, that's the heartbreaking part of this story. So let's go quickly from that darkness into the light, the entrance of the Savior. This part of the story, I have to tell you, I'm just sort of imagining, but I'm thinking the demoniac of Gadara had been watching Jesus' boat from those rocky cliffs. The wild storm of the night before, with its lightning, its thunder, fierce winds, were to him just an outward manifestation of his troubled heart. Now in the morning calm, legion. Yeah, he admitted to Jesus that he believed his name was legion. His curious and anxious mind watched Jesus and the disciples pick their way up toward him from the seaside. And suddenly the madman cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Well, I believe at this point, we have to recognize that the words coming out of this man's mouth were emanating from the deacons. From the demons that were possessing him. Those indwelling demons knew who Jesus was, and they were afraid. The demons within him couldn't help but recognize and plead with Jesus. Well, and also they rightly named, through this demoniac's mouth, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High God. And they expressed their greatest fear, "Don't torture me." That "me" being the conglomerate, the many of them. Jesus immediately asked him who he was. What was his name? Legion. What was represented by the name Legion? Not one, but a whole host of demons possessed this man. And now Luke says they and them. And what torture were they afraid of? They begged Jesus not to order them to go into the abyss. Yes, at that abyss. The bottomless pit. It's hell. You see, even these devil-led demons were wanting to avoid, scared to death, of going to hell. So they requested a lesser punishment, or not the extreme torture. The demons begged Jesus to allow them to go into a large herd of pigs that was feeding there on the hillside. Verse 32. And Jesus gave them permission. Well, that's puzzling. Does it puzzle you? Why would Jesus go easy on demons? Well, I'm sorry. They thought they had gotten off easy, not being killed and thus sent to the abyss. But what really happened to these minions of Satan? Into the pigs, yes, but then the pigs rushed headlong into the sea and drowned. They died, and the demons died within them. And dead demons go to the abyss. They go to the pit. They go to what we know as hell. See, Jesus wasn't really easy on them. Jesus said we should do anything to keep from going to hell. He told us this. In the Sermon on the Mount, that's a major place of the teachings of Jesus. He was speaking there and then of a sinful eye, and he spoke of warning against allowing a bad eye or any other part of your body to be the cause of our whole body to be cast into hell. He said, gouge out that sinful eye and throw it away. Get rid of it. His actual words were, it is better for you, this is Matthew 5:29, it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Mm-hmm. And what a warning this ought to be to any of us. Mm-hmm. And surely it is a warning to unbelievers today. Well, I almost got ahead of myself, so I need to come back to Jesus' command that's in verse 29. Can Jesus, with just his word, command the deacons, the demons? Well, yes, he can. What no other power on earth can bring about or make happen, Jesus can. He delivered this man from many demonic spirits, and he's able to deliver us. Amen. We need to think, we need to focus on how many in our world can the command of Jesus deliver from the grip of Satan. It is to be our witness that his command, there, just for the asking, the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it is ready to deliver anyone from Satan and hell. It's a story of freedom, of Christ's commanding strength, and it's our witness to tell. Healed of the deacons, the demons. I don't know why I keep saying deacons. It's terrible. Healed of the demons, all of them, verses 35 and 36. What a contrast between these verses and the beginning of the story. The story begins with a madman. Lived in the tombs, couldn't be restrained even by chains. He cried day and night with torments. And now, verses 35 and 36, he's cured. He's seated, calmly facing Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And it's no wonder verse 37 says, all the people of the region of the Gerasenes were overcome with fear. They were seeing a miracle, but they didn't yet understand. Those keepers, the ones who lost their pigs, rushed into town to tell of their loss. And the people came out to see what had happened. And as selfish people so often do, they totally missed the point. They saw old Legion, now a renewed, cleaned up man, and the miracle before them scared them. And besides that, they'd lost their pigs, and not seeing anything beneath the surface of all of that, they asked Jesus to leave, probably demanded it. And way too many people who witness the mighty power of God just fail to, they do not understand. They need to stop and look deeper and listen. Hear from a saved person the story of that person's own miracle of healing. You've got the story. Tell the story. And I call this part of the story from madman to missionary. Verses 38 and 39 there. The main key here is the first part of verse 39. Jesus told the healed man, return home and tell how much God has done for you. This man had just been saved by the grace of God, and he begged Jesus to let him stay with him, to stay with this wonderful person, the Savior. He'd just been delivered from a horrible, going nowhere life and had given a new promising life. And the fact is, it is natural with any person who has really experienced a change of life of being saved by Jesus Christ to want to follow, to want to stay with the Savior. But Jesus gave him the same commission that he gives to all of us in Matthew 28. Go and tell. That's our commission. Jesus said to this man, go home. Go back to where you live. And the man immediately, instinctively wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus told him to go home. To others, Jesus had said, follow me. But he didn't this time. And why not? Well, the people of the town of Gadara had been shaken by the radical change in the man that no one could control. And in fear, they asked Jesus to leave. This Jesus person had to go. But wait. Suppose this new convert left with Jesus. There would have been no one left to tell firsthand of the great thing that Jesus had done right there in their own town. The town's shunning of Jesus plainly said that if this man didn't stay home and go and tell, the whole countryside would have no personal witness to the power of God. His presence, his witness, his new life at his home would be a constant sermon. He would be a living epistle of God's grace. Now, very early in this message, I told you to remind me to tell you about Mark chapter 5, telling of one thing, one more thing of great importance. And here it is, Mark 5, verse 20. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. The man began to tell in the Decapolis. The Decapolis was a name for a group of 10 cities. He told not just at home, but he told in all 10 cities. Wow. I have to say this. This is what our town needs. Amen. Someone to go home and tell. Someone to go around other places and tell. Hey, let's don't stop there. We need this Decapolis effect. We need a whole country full of home missionaries. Mm-hmm. This new Christ follower obeyed Jesus. He went home and counted his home as also beyond Gadara and began to tell the story everywhere near him of what God had done for him. He didn't wait for a class at the church on Sunday nights on how to win the lost. He just knew God had touched his life with great grace, and he wanted to share the good news. Did it work? Well, it must have, because Mark 5 concludes the story in verse 20 with these words, and all the people were amazed. This is the kind of missions, kind of missionaries that we need today. It doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say in the Matthew version or in the Mark version or in this Luke version that we read as our text for today, that he told the story once, or that he just told it one time to one person. Mark's story is that he went all over everywhere and told. Believers everywhere. That's us. We must go home and we must go beyond and tell. Now, as in Jesus' day, there simply are not enough preachers to go around. A couple of Sundays ago, our brother Milton wouldn't claim the title preacher, but he stood right here in his church home and he told his witness. If the gospel is ever to be told, as Jesus directed, Acts 1:8, He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, every believer must go home and then go to the 10 cities and tell. You can say amen. Amen. There you go. Good. Well, God bless you. We've got a commission, don't we?